Well, it's been quite a week, huh? For storage and hardware news, I mean. Early April 2025 is already shaping up to be, well, overwhelming.
It is a lot to keep up with, that's for sure. Like trying to drink from a fire hose, as they say.
That's exactly why we're doing this deep dive. We sifted through all the noise, the news articles, press releases, even firmware update logs, so you, the learner, don't have to.
We want to make sure you get the truly significant stuff.
Yeah.
The interesting stuff. And of course, we add in some analysis and context.
Yeah, because what good is a pile of facts without some sense of what it all means, right?
Exactly. So what we got for everyone today, we're looking at some pretty crazy memory speeds, storage sizes that are basically sci-fi not that long ago.
Oh, and the whole tariff situation. How's that going to hit our wallets if we want to build a new PC?
Can't forget about that. Plus, we'll touch on AI. It seems like it's creeping into every corner of tech these days.
All right. Well, should we jump right into it?
Let's do it.
Let's start with something to help keep your current gear running smoothly. QNAP just released a firmware update. QTS version 5.2.4.3092. I know, firmware updates aren't the sexiest topic.
But they are important for anyone with a QNAP, that is. And that covers a lot of models.
Yeah, we're talking everything from those little Q-boat Sunny units to like the TS-128A, the TS-231P3, a whole bunch more.
They've made some nice improvements in this one and squashed a bunch of bugs.
On the improvement side, DHCP server management is better now. More options for reserved IPs, even when your adapter is on DHCP.
Though, I gotta echo what they always say, static IPs are just more reliable in the long run.
Absolutely. They've also made it so you can directly set a client's DHCP IP as reserved right from the get-go. Saves a couple of steps.
Handy little tweak. Oh, and for anyone rocking Thunderbolt, you can actually see the adapter connection status right there in the settings now.
Good for a quick check. Now, for Western Digital Drive users, the WDDA, that's their device analytics tool, has been bumped to version 8.7.0.5, should be even more stable now.
Those analytics can be a lifesaver, especially as drive capacities get bigger and bigger. Early warnings about potential problems are gold.
Let's talk bug fixes. Some folks were getting errors with RAID groups and shared folders after updates. No bueno.
Not good at all. That's fixed now. And if you've got an RM-based QNAP Nereus that was giving you grief when trying to join a Windows Server 2025 domain,
should be smooth sailing now. They also took care of a thankfully rare issue with the SMB daemon that could basically lock up your NAS.
Yeah, full system unresponsiveness, not fun, gone now.
They've also tidied up the UI a bit, a few language display quirks in the app center, right-click weirdness in the control panel.
Nothing major, but those little annoyances add up. WebDivi transfers are faster now, too, which is nice.
A few more things. They fixed the bogus update notifications for QDA A2AR adapters, the port trunking status bug.
And the one where virtual switch DNS settings would just vanish after an update. That was a head-scratcher.
So yeah, QNAP users, check out the release notes. This update is worth your time. All right, let's switch gears completely. Let's talk about pushing the limits of memory speed and capacity. G-Skill just dropped some seriously impressive DDR5 kits.
They're claiming a world first with their DDR5 8128GB kit. That's two 64GB modules running at a blazing 8000 MTs. Mega transfers per second, folks.
For anyone wondering, MTs is the speed at which your RAM can shuffle data around, and 8000 is, well, it's nuts.
It's fast. G-Skill's aiming this one at the pros. Think video editors working with massive files, AI development, scientific simulations, the stuff that eats RAM for breakfast.
They've even validated it on a top-of-the-line Asus ROG Crosshair X870E Apex board with an AMD Ryzen 9 9950X CPU. Talk about a power combo.
Seriously high-end. But hold on, because they've got another one.
Oh, yeah, an even faster kit. DDR5 9000, this one's 64GB, two 32GB modules running at, you guessed it, 9000 MTs.
With CL48 timings, no less. Tested on the Asus ROG Maxima Z890 Apex with an Intel Core Ultra 7 265K.
Covering both major CPU platforms, G-Skill's Frank Hung straight up said they're surpassing all previous limits to demonstrate never-before-seen memory specifications. Makes you wonder, though, are other components going to be bottlenecks with speeds like this?
It's a good question. To really use all that speed, other parts, like the CPU's memory controller, need to keep up. Maybe not a huge difference for everyday stuff right now, but
for those pushing the bleeding edge in those pro applications, it's a game changer. And it often trickles down to us regular folks eventually.
Right. Okay, let's talk about something that could hit all of our wallets. PC prices.
Yeah, the tariffs. This could get ugly. Reports are saying a return of tariffs, mainly on components from China, but also affecting Vietnam, Taiwan, and South Korea, could mean PCs costing 20 to 45% more.
Ouch. SSDs, RAM, cases, graphics cards?
Mm-hmm.
If it's made over there, the price is probably going up.
System builders are already sounding the alarm. Wallace Santos, CEO of Main Gear, says their PCs could go up by 20 to 25%. He even mentioned suppliers halting production in China, which means fewer parts and higher prices.
Tough spot for system builders. Their profit margins are already pretty thin. Passing that cost on to us, the buyers, seems almost inevitable.
Kelt Reeves from Falcon Northwest brought up a good point. Most of the stuff just isn't made in the U.S. No easy alternative sources.
Makes us very vulnerable to these tariffs.
Even John Back at Puget Systems, they're going to try and absorb some of the hit initially, but they're still looking at price increases in that 20 to 45% range by June.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
And it's not just PCs. Gary Shapiro, CEO of the Consumer Technology Association, is warning about the bigger picture.
Yeah, inflation, job losses, even a potential recession. Tariffs are basically a tax on everyone.
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
All
right, let's move on to some new goodies. OWC, Otherworld Computing, has been busy.
They've got both software and hardware news. Starting with SoftRAID 8.5, this is their RAID management software. Works on both macOS and Windows.
Good news is it's a free upgrade for current subscribers. They've focused on making it even more reliable, keeping your data safe.
For Mac users on macOS 15.4, they've tweaked how RAID 4 and 5 handle failing drives. They'll get marked as failed right away, so you get the most out of your redundancy.
Better safe than sorry, right? They've also improved stability if a disk or an entire enclosure disconnects. Plus, more command line tools for the sysadmins out there.
Windows users get some love, too. SoftRAID 8.5 now supports non-RAID volumes created on a Mac. Handy for mixed OS environments.
And more control over RAID 1 plus 0, 4, and 5. Better diagnostics, optimized trim for SSDs.
Enhanced event logging, support for Windows Volume Shadow Copy Service. Oh, and better stability for volume validation and rebuild.
Lots of under-the-hood improvements.
Now on to new hardware. The OWC Archive Pro Ethernet is a beast. It's a network-based LTO backup and archiving solution.
Think media companies, government agencies, big businesses. Anyone needing serious long-term storage.
Uses Aetito XDreamCore 8100T Tech. Can handle up to 4 SAS tape drives over 10GB ISCS iEthernet. We're talking 400 members native transfer speeds, 4,000 members with compression.
And LTO tape is archival gold. They're saying 30-year lifespan for the tapes, up to 45 TB per tape.
Available in April 2025, starting price $7,799. Now, they've also got Thunderbolt 5 goodies coming. The Thunderblade X12 is a high-performance shuttle RAID.
Up to a whopping 96 TB of storage. Perfect for high-end video work, VR, anything needing tons of bandwidth.
Optimized for RAID 0510. That one's coming late April 2025.
They've also got a new Thunderbolt 5 hub, updated Atlas memory cards and readers, the Envoy Ultra Portable SSD.
The ExpressOne M2, which is a tiny little USB 4 SSD, and the Thunderbay Flex 8. OWC is covering a lot of bases.
They really are. Okay, back to the natural flow of tech. Things getting old and replaced. QNAP updated their end-of-life list.
If you're using any older QNAP gear, pay attention. No more updates or support for these models.
This is just the way it goes. Companies can't support everything forever.
So what's on the chopping block? The TS855 URPHG, the TS855 UAG NAS units.
Some of the QCPE 7012 UCPE devices, a couple of specific RAM modules.
And even some higher-end NAS units, like the TNSH2083X series.
A couple of network switches too, the QSWM2108-2S in Agadu C, and even a QM24P384 expansion card.
Now the interesting bit is, next to each item on the EOL list, QNAP's got a little message. Contact us for a replacement.
Seems smart move. They want to keep those users within their ecosystem.
Makes sense. All right, handheld gamers, this one's for you. Lexar just announced a 1TB microSD Express card. They say it's a world first.
Very timely. With the Nintendo Switch 2 rumors swirling around, microSD Express is a big step up in performance.
It uses PCIe 3.0 and NVMe 1.3 interfaces, way faster than regular microSD. Think up to 900 millibees reads, 600 millibees writes.
Games will load so much faster, downloads too. And with the size of AAA games these days, that 1TB is going to be welcome.
It is backwards compatible with UHSi and UHSD devices, though it'll run at the slower UHSi speeds. A bit of future-proofing.
Nice.
They're even throwing in a limited lifetime warranty and access to their recovery tool.
Always good to have that peace of mind. 1TB is going to be $199.99. 512GB is $99.99. 256GB is $49.99.
Not cheap, but if you're serious about mobile gaming,
the performance gains might be worth it.
Now let's talk video surveillance and AI. Western Digital just unleashed a monster, a 26 TB Purple Pro hard drive.
The Purple series is made for this stuff, 24/7 operation, recording multiple video streams, AI analytics. It's tough work.
This one's got 11 platters, uses CMR tech, that's the tried and true magnetic recording. It's got their all-frame AI tech too, can handle up to 64 HD cameras or 32 AI streams.
Keeps those recordings smooth, no dropped frames, crucial for AI analysis.
550 TB by year workload rating, WDDA for drive health monitoring. They really made this for heavy lifting.
And they've given it OptiNAND flash and tarnish-resistant components.
2.5 million hours MTBF, 5-year warranty. This thing is built to last.
512 mm cache, 7200 RPM, 287 AIHD max transfer speed.
They're also celebrating the 10th anniversary of the WD Purple line with this one. It's come a long way.
It really has. Okay, back to networking. QNAP's got a new dual-port 10GBE SFP Plus card, the QXG10G2SF-NXE. Uses the Broadcom 57412 controller.
Works with a bunch of their NAS units, the TSGuy64U models, and even Windows Linux PCs and servers with PCIe slots.
10GBE is becoming more and more common, especially for folks doing video editing, sharing big files, or running virtual machines.
With two ports, you can use SMB multi-channel or port trunking to get up to 20 GBPs. It also supports RDMA, which is remote direct memory access.
Improves efficiency, lowers latency. Good stuff.
And SRIOV, which is single root IO virtualization, helps if you're doing VMware, gives VMs direct access to the network card.
Less load on the CPU.
Nice. QNAP's got a whole lineup of 10GBE solutions now, trying to make that high-speed networking more affordable.
Gotta stay competitive.
Just a heads up, if you're gonna use this card in a PC or server, you'll need to grab the Broadcom drivers yourself.
Good to know. Okay, business news time. Seagate completed their acquisition of Intevac.
Intevac makes those thin film processing systems used to make storage devices. Big deal for Seagate.
It was a two-part deal. The last bit was a $4 share tender offer. Seagate snagged about 87.95% of the shares.
Intevac is now officially a Seagate subsidiary. No more Intevac stock on NASDAQ.
It's all about strengthening Seagate's position in the NAND flash market, controlling the tech, the IP.
Smart move. Now let's check in with Acer. They've released version 1.0 of their iVideo's Android TV app.
Big update. All new UI for Google TV.
You can log into your Acer NAS right from Google TV now. Wake on LAN support, embedded player.
Chromecast and DLNA support, multilingual subtitles and audio tracks.
Pretty much everything you'd want for streaming from your NAS to your big screen.
Makes it a lot more convenient.
Okay, let's talk about leaks. Word on the street is Kingston's got a new PCIe Gen 5 SSD series coming, the Fury Renegade G5.
Seems like some marketing stuff accidentally went live on their site, then got yanked down quickly.
We're talking 4TB, 2TB, and 1TB models, all in the MTOW 2280 form factor, rumored to be as fast as Samsung's 9900 Pro.
Top models supposedly hitting 14,800 milligits, reads 14,000 millibits, writes.
If true, those are some crazy speeds. Looks like it'll use the Silicon Motion SM2508 controller, which is a good one.
3D TLC NAND, high random IOPS, 5-year warrant.
No official word on price or release date, but we'll keep our ears to the ground.
Definitely one to watch.
All right, some news for QNAP users who use Mars, their multi-application recovery service, for backing up Google Photos.
Ah, yeah. Google changed their Photos API, and that's breaking things.
No more Google Photos backup in Mars. The change happened March 31st, 2025.
They're releasing Mars V1.2.0 to remove the feature entirely.
Good news is, your existing backups are still accessible.
They're suggesting Google Takeout as an alternative.
Let's talk about capacity, sheer storage size. Dapuster, a company you might not know, just launched a 122.88 TB SSD.
That's huge. Uses QLC NAND, which is how they're getting those crazy sizes.
It's an enterprise drive, U.2 interface. They're really pushing the energy efficiency angle with this one.
Only 13 watts while operating, 2.5 watts idle. That matters a lot in data centers.
Performance is good too. 7.3 GBs reads, 6.8 GDBs writes, 1.5 million IOPS random reads, 45,000 IOPS random writes.
And less than 100 microseconds latency.
Dapuster saying QLC is mature and reliable now. Seems like we're entering the era of truly massive SSDs.
For certain applications, it's a game changer. All right, let's end with something really cool. QNAP's QSearch 5.6.0 has a new beta feature. RAG search.
AI-powered search right on your NAS.
RKeys stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation. Mm-hmm. They're using cloud-based LLMs, those large language models like ChatGPT, Gemini.
Even Azure OpenAI. And they're combining them with RAG tech. It makes your searches way smarter.
Think of it like this. You're not just searching for keywords anymore. Q Search is actually trying to understand what you mean.
You can even choose which LLM you want to use.
And you can limit your searches to specific folders on your NAS. No more wading through irrelevant stuff.
It supports tons of file types, Word, Excel, PDFs, even emails. You can trace back the AI's insights to the actual documents.
And it all happens in real time, using the latest versions of your files. Plus, it can analyze documents in 23 different languages.
QNAP is calling it a smart knowledge hub with full data sovereignty. All the processing happens on your NAS in your own private cloud.
No need to send sensitive stuff out to some unknown server farm.
Yeah.
Really clever way to blend AI with privacy.
All right, last and not least, for all the open source networking fans, we've got news about the OpenWRT2 router.
The successor to the OpenWRT1. They've addressed some of the shortcomings of the first model.
More and better ports this time. 4 2.5 GBE, 1 5 GBE RJ45, a 10 GBE SFP Plus for fiber, and 2 1 GBE RJ45 ports.
Way more flexible.
Inside, it's got the new MediaTek MT7988 processor, Wi-Fi 7 support across all the bands.
That's cutting edge. GL.inet's making the hardware.
They're aiming for end of 2025, price around $250.
Not bad.
Unraid users, there's a new beta out. Unraid OS 7.1.0 batch beta.2.
This one's got some nice goodies. Wireless networking support is finally here.
WTA2, WPA3, both personal and enterprise. They did mention there might be some Docker issues if you're using wired and wireless at the same time, though.
Something to watch out for.
You can also import foreign ZFS pools now. From TrueNAS, Proxmox, even QNAP.
Makes switching to Unraid a lot easier.
VM users get some love too. VirGL support for sharing integrated Intel and AMD GPUs with Linux VMs.
And QXL virtual GPU support also for Linux VMs. Plus, you can save your VM configs as templates now.
Lots of networking tweaks and general bug fixes as well. Just remember, it's beta software. Don't use it on your main rig.
Unless you like living dangerously.
All right, one last thing before we wrap up. Plex just launched their redesigned mobile experience.
It's rolling out to users over the next week. Big changes.
Navigation's all new, supposed to be easier to find stuff. There's a dedicated tab just for your personal media library now.
They're using more artwork throughout the app, too. Looks more polished.
And some new features for connecting with friends and family, sharing stuff.
They're still working on bringing the redesign to TVs, and they're taking all the feedback from the preview period to make things even better.
All right, one last bit of business news. Intel got their final payment from SK Hynix for the NAND flash deal.
$1.9 billion. That's the second and final part of the deal.
SK Hynix now has full rights to Intel's NAND tech, R&D, the whole shebang. It's all Solidigm now.
Intel's using the cash to focus on AI, their foundry business.
Smart move for both companies, really. So there you have it, the learner. Another week, another whirlwind of storage and hardware news.
We've seen some incredible jumps in memory speed and storage capacity.
The potential for some not-so-fun PC price hikes.
And the continued march of AI into every corner of tech.
Hopefully this deep dive saved you some time and helped you make sense of it all.
That's always our goal.
Now for a final thought. With all this progress happening at breakneck speed, what crazy applications will we see in the near future? What problems will this tech solve? And what new challenges will we have to face? Something to think about. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.